We're going to start in Luke chapter 1. There's a marvelous portion of scripture here. It's one of my favorite. I found it one year while I was meditating in the Christmas scriptures, getting ready for Christmas. You know, sometimes in the rush and the hubbub, we don't get our heart ready. And the significance and the impact of these days passes us by. Well, I don't want to be passed by. I don't know if you know the hymns or not. I was raised in the hymnal. I probably knew as many hymns as I did scripture growing up. And there's a song that says, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, do not pass me by, while on others thou art calling, hear my humble cry." It was written by a lady watching a move of God. She was sitting in the balcony. Her name's in the hymnal. Do you have a hymnal at your house, I mean? You need to buy you one for Christmas. Go ahead, indulge. Because it'll help your heart. Some of those hymns were inspired by the living God. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That wasn't somebody's mental acumen. Our brilliance. It was inspired by the Holy Ghost. Well, she was watching the move of God, and all her friends were affected by that move of God. She felt totally unaffected, and she wrote that hymn, crying out to God to do something in her heart. She says, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Don't pass me by." Well, I don't want the significance of the birth of our Lord to pass me by this year. You know, we came from denominational churches. We had special offerings at Christmas time. Some things were done to enhance the significance of the moment so that we could plant the seed of the birth of the Savior in our heart. Now, the birth alone is not going to profit us. We've got to have the death and the resurrection. But we're so glad He came. Aren't you glad? So glad He came. Now, He came for a purpose, and that's this verse in Luke chapter 1. It's the prophecy of Zacharias, who was the father of John the Baptist. You remember when the angel came and told Zacharias that Elizabeth would bear a son? He was full of doubt and unbelief. So they just shut his mouth. And for all the months she carried that baby until his birth, he was silent. Now this is a man that's not spoken in 9 to 12 months. Not said a word. He's fixing to open his mouth by unction of the Spirit and probably say what's been growing in his heart. You know, it probably didn't take but 7 days or less before he knew I was wrong. You ever been there? He knew, oh, I was wrong about this. And he probably had plenty to say, had 9 to 12 months to incubate it in his heart to think about it. And here's what he's going to say under the mantle of the Spirit, beginning in verse 68. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people." Now, I like that verse. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited." Now, Jesus hasn't been born yet. And the Spirit of the Lord through Zacharias says He has visited and redeemed. Visited and redeemed. Now, if I came to your house for a visit, and sometimes I have my contacts on, sometimes I have my glasses, just depends on what mood I'm in. And I left my glasses there, I'd be right back. Because I dare not drive without them. Well, when I came back to your house and knocked on your door, I came for a particular purpose. I came to pick up glasses. Didn't come to talk with you anymore. I didn't come to have a cup of coffee. I didn't come to see if you were getting ready for bed. I just came to get my glasses. I came for that particular purpose. Now it says Jesus came to visit. It says the Lord God visited. Now I particularly like that. I like it all. I just like it all. But I like that. It doesn't say Jesus came to visit. It points us out that this visit, this baby that came to earth was Emmanuel. God is with us. That's what Matthew chapter 1 says. So the virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. God is with us. It says the Lord God visited. You know, John 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. The Word was God. Emmanuel, God is with us. That baby was God Almighty on the earth. And He's here. After centuries of predictions, after centuries of thus saith the Lord, He's here. You know, you carry a baby for 9 months, the He's here part's real important. I mean, you come to a point where you don't want to go any further. In fact, one lady confessed so much that her baby would be born early that she almost lost her baby. Please use wisdom. Words work. And we visited her in bed where she wasn't allowed to move for months. And I said, do the world a favor, don't say that anymore. Well, the he is here part is real important. And Zacharias, just looking over the hill of time, I'm just a fraction of time for him, says the Lord God's here. The Lord God is here. And he comes for a particular purpose. He comes for a reason, and the reason is to redeem. Now, the devil has a way of taking significant scriptural words out of our vocabulary. Nobody redeems anything anymore. When's the last time you said that? So when we come to that word in Scripture, it's on coupons. That's exactly the last time you saw it. Redeemable at 25 cents. Do you know what that means? When we come to the Scripture and we see that word redeem, it doesn't impact our heart because we don't say that anymore. Let me tell you, you are constantly in redemptive transactions. When you go to the grocery store, you go to redeem. You go for a particular purpose. I mean, you don't go to the grocery store to just peruse the aisle, see what's happening. You don't go unless you have to, right? Does anybody do that for fun? I didn't think so. You go for a particular purpose. You may not know it, but you go to redeem. Redeem, redeem. Now, redeem is to buy. None of that food is free. You've got to pay. You've got to pay the price in order to bring the food to your house. Now you go with desire because you like to eat, because the pantry's empty, because your children demand food. So you go with desire, you go with purpose. And you may go with a list. You have certain things you want to accomplish. You see, Jesus came on purpose with certain things to accomplish. And it's going to require, every redemptive transaction requires the payment of a price. Now you go by, I like fruit and nut bread. You know fruit and nut bread? You've probably missed God if you don't know it. I don't eat too much bread anymore. I've had to abstain. But we used to go buy loaves of fruit and nut bread to get those in the bakery. And you put those in the toaster. They've got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 kinds of seeds in them, several kinds of fruit. And you put those in your toaster with lots of butter. You had your breakfast, didn't you? I'd get to thinking late at night about something I wanted. And I'd say, you know, we don't have any ice cream. And Wade would say, Becky, it's 10 o'clock. I said, I don't think I care. I don't think I care what time it is. And I'd keep dropping hints. My, I'd like ice cream. You know, it's only a mile down there. It's not like there's going to be heavy traffic at this hour of the night, you know. Well, I had desire. Now I buy the sugar-free. They've taken it off the market. Don't even go look for it. I don't really think you'll find it. But there used to be sugar-free chocolate mint. You ever had that? It was worthy. And I'd get a desire, and Wayne would finally concede, because I'm fairly persistent, and he'd go down and get the ice cream. Now, once you pick the ice cream up out of the cooler, you got to pay the price. Then I'll give it to you. It says, we were redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold. Now that ice cream is redeemed with silver and gold. It does not belong to you until you pay for it. Now Jesus is going to come, walk 33 and a third years towards the cross. Now you see the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost in heaven. If I had a whiteboard, I'd draw it for you like we do in healing school. The Father, the Son, who is the Word, and the Holy Ghost in heaven before the world was created. You see the creation of the world. You see Adam fall into sin. Eve was deceived. Adam chose sin, I believe, in order to be in alignment with the woman that he loved. The New Testament says he was not deceived. That means he knew exactly what he did when he did it. He chose sin. Now you see the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost in heaven. Somebody's got to come make a sacrifice in order to redeem, in order to buy man back. Man belonged to God. God was their creator, not father, but creator. He put man on the earth. He said, I desire fellowship. It says, for his fellowship. For His pleasure we were created. And now fellowship is broken. Sin always destroys fellowship. And so in order to restore fellowship, there's got to be a redemptive transaction. In order for there to be a redemptive transaction, it's going to take more than money. It's going to take the blood of the precious Lamb of the Son of God. So Jesus, the Word, is going to come. But when you see Him in Bethlehem, it's not a different Word. It's not a different Jesus. It's not a new person. It's God, the Word, that had always existed. He came right from heavenly places. God, the Word. It says He humbled Himself. He surrendered His rights as God. He said it was not robbery to be equal with God. But if He comes equal with God and not equal with man, He cannot redeem. He's going to stand in my place. He was God who became man, but now I'm man who becomes like God. So the Word who was always there comes from heaven and gets in that body. Now look at Hebrews chapter 10. If you can only see this in your heart, you'll never be the same. I find out that most people, many people, have not fully seen the redemptive process and what happened. Jesus was God, the Word. You see, He's never the same again. Never what He was. He is going to be exalted again to sit at the Father's right hand. But He's going to be forever, forever confined to a fleshly body. He did that for me. He did it for you. It was not a little sacrifice. You know, He said in John 17, He's getting ready to go to heaven. He said, Father, return me to the glory which I had with you before the foundation of the earth. It was a sacrifice to redeem. Just like going to the store at 10 o'clock at night, it's a sacrifice. But it was worth it. Mint chocolate chip. You can go have the one that has sugar and it's on the market. Go eat all you want. You'll like it. Now look at chapter 10. Hebrews, are you there? Verse 5. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, what did we say? He's here. He came for a visit. He's here. And you know what He said? I will never leave you or forsake you. That's why He says, when I have to go, and it's expedient for you that I do go, I'll send another. He had to send the Holy Ghost to keep His word, to never leave me or forsake me. He said, when I go, I'll send another. And He's here. Forever, God is here. He came in Bethlehem, and He's here. He's here. He's here. Now it says, when He cometh into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. God prepared that body. I don't know exactly how it was transacted, but I know when Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. God said, there shall be a performance of that thing which I have spoken. And that minute she received the seed of the word of God that the angel brought her, and a virgin conceived. And now He's here. He's here. Now Bethlehem was the beginning. He came to visit for what purpose? To redeem. To buy. Now once you buy that loaf of bread, you remember fruit and nut bread, lots of butter? Oh, and use butter. Forget margarine. I mean, I believe if you're going to be ugly big, you know. Don't get this light, whatever. Go get you a stick of butter. Once you pay for that, it doesn't belong to the grocery store anymore. You paid for it. It's yours. Now, if I choose to go home and throw it in the garbage can, it's mine. Once Jesus comes, we were redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb. Once I receive that, once I say I want Him as my Savior, I take Him as my Lord, that blood is effective in my life. I no longer belong to Satan. I belong to Satan. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Jesus was the gift of God. He's here. He came. The gift of God is eternal life. And now I have eternal life. He's here. He's here. To never leave me. My, my, my. See, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? You know, I was born in the Winter Haven Hospital. Winter Haven's my mother's home. I was raised in Auburndale. Lived in Lakeland for many years. Let me just say it this way. I ain't nobody. I'm not in any book of who's who. I've never done anything particularly outstanding. I did make good grades in school. I will not deny I was a good student. I don't have any particular talent of any kind. I'm not artistic. I'm not a particularly good cook. But do you know what puts you over? He's here. He's here. He makes you what you are. Who are you? Do you know who you are? That which is earthly, see, has to concede to that which is heavenly. And that which is heavenly comes to dominate and control when you know He's in here. Now look at Romans chapter 3. The wages of sin is death. You know, it helps me so much to know who I am to see who I was. Because I'm not the man I was. I've been changed. My life has been rearranged. Jesus came to live. He lives in the human spirit. He lives in me. He's here. Forever. 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 Well, this is a description of the sinner. And every time I read that, I say, phew, that's not me. That's not me. That's not me. That's not me. You know, sometimes we drag our past into the present. It's a trick and lie of the devil. Hold your past over your head. Even the songwriters help us. For such a worm as I, well, you may have been a worm, but when you came to Jesus, you're an eagle. You can mount up with wings as an eagle. You can run and not be weary. You can walk and not faint. You've been changed. He's here. Well, let me show you this. Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? This is contrast between the Jew and the Gentile. No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Talking about the sinner, the man under sin, the man dominated by the sin, the man has not come to Christ. Now, we take these verses out of context and we use them and say, well, you know, there's none righteous, no, not one. But that isn't what this says. It's talking about the man under sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord laid on him. See, he's here. He came, he's here. He visited with a purpose to redeem, to buy, to purchase, to pay the price. And when that price is paid, I've been transported out of the darkness into the light. I was in bondage to Satan and sin and all the consequences of sin. You know, sin comes with an entourage. You notice that? But I've been set free. He's here. I'm set free. Well, when it says this next verse, as it is written, it's talking about the sinner, not talking about you. It says, there's none righteous, no, not one. I say, shh, that's not me. That's not me anymore. You know, when we sing, we ought to know what we sing. I quiz them in healing school to make sure they know what they're singing. Doesn't help you to sing if you don't know what you're singing. What does it mean? I've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb, I've been redeemed. It says, it means you've been purchased, that the price has been paid. Because God wanted you, He desired you, He loved you, you've been transported, you've been moved. Always those three things in redemption. A strong desire, a great love, a price paid, and a move, a transportation from one place to another. Always, always, always. And when we sing that song, we need to know, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am. I was unrighteous. Now, unrighteous means that you were condemned, guilty. You know, I talk to people. If you walk under condemnation, I can't help you receive your healing. It prevents faith from being effective in your life. And there are people who seem to always struggle in that arena. But you need to read this and say, there is none righteous. That is not me. That is not me. That is not me. Him who knew no sin was made sin. That I might be. That I might be. Righteous, what does it mean? Uncondemned, no longer guilty. It means I can step right into the presence of the Father and say, it's Becky. I don't have to come in the back door, hang my head, beg for an audience. You see, we beg. We go to God and we say, oh, God, please, please, please. Oh, please, God, like you're some kind of beggar. Quit your whining. You're somebody. You've been redeemed. I believe we will. My. You know, it says all our righteousness was as filthy rags. That means the best you can do is filth. That's the highest you'll get on your own, by your own effort. Now, I have a key to my mother's. I can use the key. Mother doesn't have to be there. I belong there. We lived there most of my life in Auburndale. And I knock on the door because I'm a polite person. You know, Christians can be so rude. Where is our good manners? That's just free. I just give that to you for no cost. And I don't wander down Mother's house, open the bedroom doors. I knock on the door. I determine if she's home. I may unlock the door, and I say, Mother, my mother keeps everything locked. You can just know everything's locked. You don't have to even wonder. And if I went to the kitchen, because Christians are always polite, I wouldn't cut the cake unless I ask. Christians are different type of people. Love is never ill-mannered. Never. Well, I have a key. You see, I belong there. I don't feel condemned there. I'm not guilty there. Now, I would cut the cake if somebody else had already cut it first. I wouldn't kid you. You know, if it had some pieces missing already, if it didn't have pieces missing, you know, it might be going somewhere. You know, we wouldn't mess anything up. But I belong there. One day my mother called me. She's cooking my father a hot lunch. Hot lunches are in, sandwiches are out. No sandwiches, hot lunches. You can just know that till the day my father goes to be with the Lord. So she's cooking his lunch, and she locked herself out because Mama locks everything. So she called the house, and she said, can you come let me in with the key? I'm about 10, 15 minutes away, depending upon if they let me be first on the highway or not. And I said, Mother, I don't have a key. She said, well, I know your daddy gave all you children a key. I have a brother and a sister. I said, well, I'll go right down to Debbie's and get the key. Debbie's at work. She's 10 minutes further down the road. That puts me 20 to 25 minutes from my mother. She's cooking lima beans. You know what happens to lima beans? She said, well, I know you have a key. I said, no, I looked through all my keys. I don't have a key, Mother, but I'll go get a key. Well, by the time I got there, my mother's resourceful. She had the man next door taking the door off the hinges. We are having those limas for lunch. Well, I have a whole key ring full of keys. Only the Lord knows where they all belong. And I thought, I'll just check all these keys. And I put that one in and that one, and eventually came to the key. Click, had the key all the time. Had it all the time. It didn't do me any good. It didn't do her any good because I wasn't aware. I wasn't knowledgeable. I can sing I've been redeemed till it snows again in Florida, and you know that'll be 6 to 10 years. But if I don't know, y'all get that? You want me to repeat it for you? But if I don't know what it means to be redeemed, if I don't know who I am, all of this great word inspired by the Holy Ghost and brought down through the ages, protected by the hand of God Himself, won't do me any good if I don't know who I am. I've been redeemed. When the devil harasses me, I said, did you know I've been redeemed? See, did you know I'm accepted in heaven? I'm accepted at my mother's. And I can go. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. No guilt, no unworthiness. Right. Don't have to hang my head. I'm just a pilgrim here. You know that old song? Just passing through. Heaven's my home. Heaven's my home. Now, I'm not sad when people die. Forgive me if that upsets you. I'm sad for you, but not for them. Heaven's home. Just think, stepping on shore, finding it heaven. Breathing new air, finding it celestial. Reaching a hand, and it's God's. But you know, that doesn't mean I'm going to drag through life and barely exist till I get there. You know, religion has pointed us, do the best you can, hang in there, nothing's ever going to go right for you. We'll understand that better by and by. that what the songwriter says? You know, my daddy's a musician, so that's why I have so many words in me. No. It says his great mercy. His great mercy. What's mercy for, earth or heaven? It's for now. Who's going to need it in heaven? You think anything's going wrong there, or have I misread my Bible? Mercy's for now. Love is for now. Righteousness was for now. Redemption was for now. Worthiness was for now. I throw my shoulders back, stick my head up, and said, I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. He will never leave me or forsake me. So I can back Satan right off my property and say, do you happen to know who I am? Now in the natural, he's not impressed. I said, you know who I am? I'm from Auburndale. You can't laugh too loud. Some of you, I know where you're from. And I love Auburndale. You know, home's home. Now look at this next one. There's none that understands. Now say, that's not me. Oh, that was puny. That was pathetic, y'all. That's not me.
That's not me.
That's not me.
That's not me.
If I lack wisdom,
I ask.
God gives generously. Does it or does it not say I have the mind of the Lord? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the final verse, which I believe is verse 16, says, I have the mind of the Lord. It says, the Lord's my shepherd, I don't want. That means I don't want for wisdom. I don't want for understanding. I don't want for perception. I don't want for insight. And I face the darkest, most confusing dilemma, and I say, I have the mind of the Lord here. This is the natural man. The sinner knows not the things of the Spirit of God. When it says you don't know, you can't understand, that's them. 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 I may not know when I step into bat, but I say I have the mind of the Lord here. I have the mind of the Lord here. I'm not a natural man. I'm a supernatural man. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. That's why I'm a little afraid, if you'll let me use that word, to say, well, I don't know. Because he that lives on the inside teaches me all things, brings all things to my remembrance, guides me into all, how much?
All.
How much truth?
All.
Then you must know, huh? You must know something, huh? All I have to do is reach down on the inside where he who knows it all lives and say, this is what I need to know. Sometimes I have to say, I don't know exactly what I need to know, but I know you know what I need to know. And down on the inside, I know. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. No want. No want. That doesn't mean you simply won't lack groceries. You simply won't lack for health or healing. Means you were pretty stupid. You were a dummy. But you've been redeemed. You have the mind of the Lord. You're the righteousness of God. Who are you? See, that's why he came to redeem. He came to change lives, to set people free. He didn't come just to plant something in your spirit that you carry around till the day you die. And finally, on the other side, after a while, by and by. Oh, now listen. I'm excited about the other side, after a while, by and by. I'm not knocking the other side. People that have got a glimpse of the other side, one precious lady died on the operating table. They revived her. You know, they're getting better at that all the time. And she said she stepped into such, she said, you will never imagine. I said, well, give me a hint. I said, I have pretty good imagination. Give me a hint. And she said, the glory was so grand. And it was like, I died. I finally died. I did it. I did it. I did it. And the angel took her, grabbed her by the arm and said, they're calling for you on the earth. She said, no. Oh. Listen, when you sing, won't it be wonderful there? Tune up. Won't it be wonderful there? Precious man that came to the Lord late in life, had only a third grade education, was raised in the last century, never stepped into modern times. He was a friend of mine. I loved him. And he said on his, towards the end of life, he was dying, and you'd go to visit him, and he would cling to you with such tenaciousness that visiting was very difficult. He'd say, "Don't leave me, please don't leave me, please don't go home." Well, I have to go home. And I got where I dreaded, you know. I thought, oh, I can't go visit him again. He said, he couldn't hardly read his Bible, didn't have enough education. He was in his late 60s when he got born again. I mean, the man barely made it. He said, "Just tell me heaven's up there. Just tell me one more time that it's up there." I remember when he died, they called me. The Lord gave me a song. I'm not a singer, as you can tell. I got a marvelous song, and I could see him climbing the hill. So there's green grass in heaven for you. Green grass in heaven for you. And I knew he'd stepped over. I knew it. Stepped over into glory. Glory. But you know when glory started? The day he got born again. The very day he got born again. Heaven came down. That's the day it came down. And glory filled my soul. That's the day heaven came down for him. He didn't fully understand a lot of things. But God with his Father. And he stepped right into the realm of glory. And I knew that. We used to get him picture books because he wasn't a good reader. With pictures taken by great photographers, you know, great mountain scenes and brooks and falls. Just to let him know heaven's better than that. I don't know, we were desperate human beings trying to paint a picture for him that he couldn't quite grasp. And we got some books, and we'd say, "Now look, is that grand?" We'd talk about it, saying, "Now heaven's better than that." But that's good. I mean, if it wasn't good, you wouldn't go to the seashore, and you wouldn't go to the mountains. You wouldn't travel and fly and desire, because earth is good. But it's good because Jesus lives on the inside. Now, next time you're tempted to say, "Well, I don't know," don't say it. Just say, "Well, give me a minute. I have the mind of the Lord." And sometimes I have to say, "You know, you have to come back tomorrow. I know that." I'm reaching down into the barrel of the Spirit where God and I walk together. My God and I walk in the fields together. He's on this earth. He never leaves me. He's here. He said, "I've redeemed you. I set you free. I made you my very righteousness. You're uncondemned." Hold your head back. Throw your shoulders back and say, "Devil!" You know the devil's under your feet, but have you noticed he tries to crawl up your leg? Have you noticed that? I have. I thought, "What is that?" Now look at verse 12. Are you still there? I'm having a wonderful time. "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one." You know, we're real quick to condemn ourselves and judge ourselves. "Well, you know, I don't know how. We hadn't got any. Nobody in our family's ever known how. Nobody in our family's ever had any. The bank won't loan us any." And hang our head and crawl through life. So sad. "I never do the right thing," one lady told me. "I never do the right thing." I said, "I do. I have the mind of the Lord. I'm a profitable servant." I said it by faith. I say it a lot by faith. The reason I keep saying it takes a lot of faith. I'm a profitable servant. A profitable. That's the sinner that's not profitable. You know what God said of you? Did you read? Can you read your Bible? He says, "Well done, thou good." You know what it takes to be profitable? Good and faithful. He made you good, so that's the easy part. All you got to do is show up. Faithful is ministry of show up. If you just conquer, show up. You'd be surprised how many Christians hadn't conquered ministry to show up. It's no wonder God can't enlarge our vision, give us a greater task to do. We can't even do the one thing he's asked us to do. Why don't you show up? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's the one that shows up. Do you know, I found out God promotes the man that shows up, even though the man that didn't show up could have done a better job. But he doesn't show up. So we got to go around him and go to this person, lesser talent, lesser ability, doesn't know the Lord quite as well, not as mature a Christian, doesn't know the Bible as well, doesn't know the Holy Spirit as well, but they always show up and God said, you're the one. You're the one. Now I say I'm profitable. I said that because God said that. Now in the natural, I mean just natural skills and ability. My granddaughter, we have a 6-year-old granddaughter. Over time, I'll tell you everything about her. And she always wants me to do something I can't do. The other day she wants to play football. Because at her school, she goes to private school, they play football. And I don't know if they all play or she's just watching. But anyway, she says, Memes, please play football with me. Well, I said, because she has her own rules. She has her own way of winning. So she said, you be the ball person. I said, okay, what does the ball person do? She says, you throw me the ball and I'll run for the touchdown and you don't tackle me. So our daughter's working in our office. We have a part-time secretary. And she came out and said, we're all over the backyard. The dogs are barking. That's what drew her attention, is my dogs are trying to play football as well. She said, what are y'all doing? Well, when it comes to football, I'm totally unprofitable. That's just the beginning of things I can't do. But when it comes to heaven and glory and grandeur and might and ability, I've got it.
Yes.
I got it from him. I got that. Doesn't mean I didn't make mistakes. I've made plenty of mistakes. I don't even think about it. I don't want you to think about it either. I mean, I've done just a couple of really stupid things. I remember one time we had this little child to deal with, and I'd done everything I could, said everything I could, prayed every prayer I could pray, hung tough, stood firm, planted, rooted, grounded, and things got worse, worse, worse. So I thought, well, I better go to the top, you know, and tell them this is not working assignment they gave me. I'm not doing too good with it. And so I went to the office, and I said, told them, briefed them, you know, what's happening, what's not happening, actually. Briefed on what's not happening. And they said, very perceptively, the man in the office that day at the church said, this makes you really mad, doesn't it? Now, he had to perceive that because I was very calm on the outside. I just said, you know, this is what you told me to do, and this is what I did, and this is what she did, and then this is what I did, and this is what she did, and this is what I did, and this is what she did. And they said, this is making you really mad, isn't it? You know, I do like to win. And you know what I did? I said, I'm not mad. I mean, right in his face, just like that. He backed up a minute and he said, okay. I thought about that later. I thought, dumb, da dum, dumb. That was really dumb. Told the whole office staff how this was really getting on my nerves, how it was aggravating me. I mean, I've done some unprofitable things. But it's not the man that falls that loses. It's the man that refuses to get up. God said you're a profitable servant. God said so. He said he redeemed you. Now look at that. It says there's none that doeth good. That's verse 12. No, not one. That's not you. You can give up. I can't do it. Forget saying that. You can do it. God said you could do it. Do it. Step out there in faith. Step out there with the anointing and the power of the Spirit of the living God. It's okay, God, let's do it. Let's do it. I'd try anything once. I'd say, okay, God. You know, I used to work in Kid Zone. It was super. I couldn't believe how disobedient, rude, crude, and ugly kids could be. I mean, well, one lady was asking me, how's the anointing in Kid Zone? I'd been there 3 or 4 or 5 times. I said, how's the anointing in Kid Zone? I said, I haven't sensed any anointing in Kid Zone. I'm in there hanging by a thread. I felt unprofitable. I felt like I wasn't doing any good. But the day came when our lesson was, I am the bread of life. And I took a loaf of bread and I threw it at them. And I don't know why I did. Somebody said, you know, the custodians aren't going to appreciate this. I said, because the anointing fell. I mean, it just fell. I threw the bread and the anointing fell. And I said, what does it mean to be the bread of life? And the anointing fell on this little kid, and she gave me the most brilliant answer I've ever heard in my life. God showed up, and I said, I can do this. I can do this. I've been there 6 weeks saying, somebody needs to come and help me. You need to pay attention to God and pay attention to His Word. He said you were righteous. He said you were uncondemned. He said you were worthy. He said you were profitable. You've been redeemed. That's why Jesus came. He wanted to do something on the earth. I don't know if this crossed your mind, but if He didn't want to do anything on the earth, He could just waited and snatched you at death. Grabbed you as you died, set you up to heaven and said, now we can do something with you. No, I said, I'm starting today with anybody who will believe. Anybody who believe, I'm starting today. I like to skip this part about the mouth, but okay, we'll be fair. Verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. It's not you anymore. You don't whine, you don't complain, you don't mumble, you don't murmur. You don't say unkind words. You've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. And every word you say ministers grace to the hearer. I know that's true. God said so. He said so. And then He said, do all things without murmuring and complaining. And I said, well, I don't murmur and complain anymore. And yet, have you had a day when you complained? Oh, thank God, 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins. You know, I come to myself and I say, but that's not you, Becky. That's not who you are. That's not how you live. The scripture says, if you have learned Christ, see, He dwells on the inside, and I have to learn to walk with Him, to grow up in Him, to be fully mature in God. And one thing I know is Christians speak differently than the world. I'm absolutely amazed. I know a couple of worldly people who always say the right thing. I don't know how they're doing that. One lady says constantly, no matter what you ask her, we are going to do the right thing here. You ask that same question to a Christian. I mean, Holy Ghost, tongue-talking, divine healing, believing Christian, and they'll say, I don't know, you know how she is. What's the matter with your mouth? Have you been redeemed? Redemption affects the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, and they're acceptable in His sight. He says, Becky, no complaining. Have you ever had something to say? a time or two I had something to say. I mean, I was using the greatest restraint in my capacity not to say it. And you know you last, what, 5, 6, 7 minutes if you've practiced a long time? I mean, if you've practiced not saying the things that shouldn't be said because you've been redeemed, see, you talk differently. You're not like the world. If they're going left, you're probably going right. If they're going north, you should head south. You're not like them. You've been redeemed. Well, you know, you held out 5 minutes. I'm not going to say it. 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 I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. Do you know what I heard? That's about how long we last, isn't it? And then we cover the bases. We say, now, don't tell that to anybody, okay? Don't say a word about that. It says their throat is an open sepulcher. It means the throat, the mouth, the tongue, the words of the sinner are full of death and destruction. We ain't got none. Nobody will help us. I don't know why she said that. It's the last thing I'll do. I'll get her for that. But you and I, see, we've been redeemed. We've been changed. There's new life in me. New life in me. Now I'm happy I've been set free. You know, I write my own music. I have no idea what the songwriter wrote. I just sing them like they appeal to my heart. You can do the same. I like the Message Bible. It says, look for any occasion to sing a song to God. I mean, I'm hunting an opportunity to sing. Sing hallelujah to the King. Why, I've been redeemed. I'm profitable. I would never have been profitable. I would never have done good works. I would never have said the right thing except Jesus came. He came, the God who was in heaven, the spirit being before earth was created, surrendered the glory and the grandeur and came down and got in that body that Mary carried and delivered in Bethlehem. Walked 33 and a third years towards the cross where Jesus himself took our infirmities and our diseases, took our sins, took our poverty. He himself did that, descended into hell where 3 days and three nights he crushed the head of Satan, the offender, and he came up victorious and he said, now you've been set free. That's you. I don't know why we want some strike against us. We feel better if we feel worse. You notice that? Now here's verse 16. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Now we won't call the names of any miserable Christians, but you know them. you don't know if you should say, is there any way I can help you? Or if you should just run for cover. You know, always sad, always miserable, always depressed, always strung out, always uptight, always nervous. God said, that's the sinner. I want to say, you look kind of like a sinner to me. You don't look much like a Christian. What happened to, I have joy unspeakable and full of glory, I don't know. One lady, they asked me to talk to her and I said, fine. And she tuned up to cry. Well, I'm not against tears. If you need to, you need to. Go ahead. And, she cried and cried and cried. I'm just waiting on her to tune down so I can ask her, can I help you? How can I help you? I mean, they didn't tell me what she needed. And she cried and whined, cried and whined. Finally, she came to a pause. And I said, ma'am, how can I help you today? And she said, Mama died. Well, now I felt bad about that because death is painful. Not for Mama, you understand. Mama ain't having any pain. Mama's in glory. I asked her, where's Mama? She said, in heaven with the Lord. I said, you suppose Mama's whining, crying like this? She said, oh, no. She says, Mama had a takeover spirit. Well, I thought she meant Mama died yesterday or day before or last month or something, the way we're carrying on, you know. So finally, my heart kept saying, wonder when Mama died. And in my heart, I had those words in my spirit. See, the Holy Ghost leads you. Wonder when Mama died. Wonder when Mama died. So finally, I got my chance. I said, when did Mama die? She said, 7 years ago yesterday. 7 years of whining. And Mama's up there going, yes, I made it. I made it. And on the earth, what happened to joy unspeakable? What happened to joy in the Holy Ghost? We're not supposed to be miserable people. It says misery is the way of the sinner. The sinner, the sinner. I'd say, I assume you must be a sinner. I mean, by your face, you just can know. You can't be born again. Where's your smile? Now, everybody has a down day. Has anybody not had a down day? Just want to make sure I'm talking to everybody. What are you going to do on a down day? I'm going to tell you exactly what you're going to do. I'm going to fix this for you in Jesus' name. We have an island, a kitchen island that's 6 foot long. Or 5 foot, I forget. That's where I pray, around this island. It's about 3 foot wide. I mean, I've done miles, miles. So you can sit and pray. I can't sit and pray. I'm not good at sitting at anything. See, because we've been redeemed doesn't mean we're identical. Religion says you have to smell like me, act like me, be sure you cut your hair like me and your dress is as long as mine. And God made us different. He said you've been redeemed. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. You have different talents. You have different abilities. Religion tries to make us conformists, but God says it's all right to be different. That means you can sit and pray. I can pace and pray. Just make sure your dress is not too short. Too short is out. I've seen some of them. That's out. Well, I'm having a down day. I mean, I don't know what happened to me. I lost my grip on joy. I mean, I just totally lost it. And I'm going to say praise the Lord. I mean, just any minute now. Any minute now, I am. This actually happened. I went round that bar, probably did a mile. I'm going to say praise the Lord. I mean, just any time now. I know I can do it. I know I can. So finally I said, praise the Lord, and I went back to crying. I thought, I'm going to conquer this. You see, it takes a little bulldog tenacity. It takes a little power of the Holy Ghost. It takes a little faith here. Step forward in faith. Well, finally I said, praise the Lord and glory to God all in the same sentence. I mean, now I'm cooking, see. It was amazing. And then I began to sing a little song. Then I had to take another break and cry a little bit. You know, and it's amazing when you feel like that, you don't have a good reason. I want to say, what is the reason for this carrying on? I couldn't think of any. I got to singing. And it wasn't 5 minutes. Now, those were agonizing 5 minutes. That's the longest 5 minutes of my life. It had been easier to whine, cry, and mumble. But I'm a Christian. I'm God's. I've been redeemed. I've been born again. I've been saved. I've been set free from whining and complaining and crying and misery. And something happened to my feet. I like it to happen when I'm alone. Oh, I danced all over my kitchen. I mean, all over my kitchen. God came when I stepped forward in faith and said, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to recapture my joy. I'm not going to be conquered by this misery. I'm a Christian. I've been redeemed. Something happened to me. I've been changed. And something happened to my feet. And I danced all over my kitchen. But I knew who I was. Do you know who you are? Aren't you glad? Oh, aren't you so glad? We are so grateful, our Father. So grateful for redemption. We've been redeemed. We've been redeemed, and we're so grateful. We're so thankful. Oh, we're not sinners anymore. We've been redeemed. We've been changed. Our life has been resurrected. We're found in Him, and in Him is peace, and in Him is joy, and in Him is prosperity. In Him is every need supplied. In Him is great bounty. In Him is great wisdom. In Him is the mind of God Almighty, and you are found in Him. You are found in Him. You are found in Him. So throw your head high. Throw your shoulders back. Let the words of the Lord come out of your mouth and say, do you know who I am? I'm God's kind. I'm God's kid. I'm His child. I'm found in Him. I've been redeemed. I am righteous. I'm on the road to heaven. Blessings in abundance are falling on me. God and I walk together. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? And it's who you are in Him that'll put you over, and it's who you are in Him that'll move you forward, and it's who you are in Him that'll cause every dilemma and every problem to be dissolved. It's who you are in Him. The answer's found in Him. And if you're born again, you are in Him, and you're in Him now. Now, and it starts now. It's today. Faith is now. Joy is now. Peace is now. Righteousness is now. He's here. It's now. It's now. It's now. It's not tomorrow. It's not next year. It's not over yonder. It's not after a while. It is today. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I have it now. He came today, and He's in me today, and all of these benefits are mine right now. Oh, thank you, our Father.